All right, let's go to Luke chapter 2. I know that last time you guys read, but we're recording the mornings. I'm just going to read, okay, so you guys follow with me. Or else there's just silence on the recording. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all in the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, and from the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is also called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is called Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased." And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste, and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for the purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to sacrifice and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84, and she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God, and continued to speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to him. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Amen. Now, parts of Luke chapter 2, we went through over the Christmas holiday, talking about different aspects of his birth and, you know, the different people that got to see Jesus. You know, it wasn't the rich and the famous and the popular, but it was actually the people that were, if you say really simply, the humblest, right? These were people that were seeking God, and they got the privilege of seeing this baby Jesus. We see later on, and I want you to point something. In verse 19, and also in verse 51, we see the heart of Mary in all this. And I know a lot of times as Protestants, right, as non-Catholics, you know, we kind of always kind of downplay Mary, you know, in some ways. And we think, oh, she's really not that significant, you know. We definitely don't want to worship her, you know. We definitely don't need to pray to her, you know. But on the flip side, we kind of toss her to the side as some kind of anecdote. But Mary is a very significant person, especially in the New Testament. You know, and in this picture here of Mary, she does something, and I hope that this is a common practice that you have, you know, and all throughout the Gospels, as she, as something touches her, or there's something about Jesus or something, it always says that she ponders these things in her heart. You know, the word there is more of the treasuring, right? It's like she grabs these things, she grabs these ideas or these things that her little son Jesus says or whatnot, or insights that God gives her through their son Jesus, and she takes it and she treasures these things in her heart. You know, and I find that to be maybe a motherly role in some ways, but in the same time, I feel like as believers that we should be doing the same thing. You know, as we go through our quiet times, or we go through our Bible readings, or maybe as I give messages, or, you know, our Bible studies are given, that the truth comes to you, you know, and a lot of, this is really the difference between people that grow quickly and people that don't grow. People can take spiritual truth, and they begin to treasure these things in their heart. You know, I know as a guy, you know, who speaks a lot, you know, and as I speak, and, you know, and as God uses me, I can tell, you know, when the Word of God is moving and it's really resonating in someone's spirit, you know, and there's, of course, the Holy Spirit, you know, needs to operate, but there's a part in our lives, too, that there's a reception there, you know, and when God's truth is given, there's this pondering in our hearts. And I can remember, you know, when I actually kind of miss this because, you know, obviously I don't really go to church service anymore, so I don't really get to hear other people. You know, but when I would, especially when I was working at the university, you know, we'd get the best speakers would come to the school, you know, and I'd sit in the front row and I would just eat it up, man. You know, and I just sit in the front, and a lot of times after service, it could be there, it could be at church or something, I would just stay in, you know, everyone's leaving, greeting each other, and I would just sit there and just start journaling little things here and there, you know, and I guess looking back, I'm just reminded of this as I read this morning, I was just pondering these things in my heart. You know, these things that God was showing me, you know, through messages or through my own reading or through my prayer times. And there was a treasuring that happened. Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. God, I have treasured your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. All right? It's not just enough to hear the word, right? And in our response, there should be a treasuring of these things that God gives to us. You know, every time God releases spiritual truth into our lives, it should be a blessing, right? And I mean, not only is it a blessing, but we should receive it as a blessing. You know, you receive a prophet, right? And you get a prophet's reward. You know, and that's what he's talking about. If you can receive something, or, you know, the message of a prophet or the anointing or whatnot, or welcome them into your house, you get that reward. In the same way that God brings truth to you, you know, you cause that truth and you treasure that in your heart, just like Mary did. You know, what's the result of this? Man, you receive incredible blessing and you grow. You know, and this is the part of us just being tender-hearted before God. You know, creating, you know, an atmosphere in your heart to really receive from the Lord. You know, and this is why we're entering a season of fasting, because fasting breaks down our hearts. You know, it breaks down our cold facade, you know, and it brings us to a place where you know, we become broken and naked before Him. And thus, God can build us up again. You know, and I want to encourage you during this whole time that you would begin to really treasure these things. You know, God will be teaching you many lessons and many things throughout this time and throughout the rest of this year. Start to treasure these things in your heart. You know, start to build a habitation for God in your heart. You know, a really soft place. You know, when God comes and when He ministers to us, it will be like, oh, yeah, okay, God, that was cool. then just move on with your life. And then you start treasuring these things, like Mary did. And I think Mary was a very significant person in the Scriptures, more than us Protestants would like to think. There's another thing I want to look at, and this is the end of chapter 2, verse 52. Actually, before that, verse 49. This is actually a great verse itself. Some translations are different. Mine says, "Did you not know that I had to be my Father's house?" Other translations say, "Did you know I had to be of my Father's business?" You know, and it's this whole idea. A good friend of mine, he's a pastor in Southern California, a very well-known pastor, and you know, he had pastored a large church. You know, they grew, and you know, all these things, you know, 1,000 members or whatnot, and he kind of left that church and decided to plant a different church. He actually didn't want to plant a different church. He just kind of just moved along, and because he felt something was missing in his life. And he would always go back to this verse, and he said, "Okay, you know, I've done ministry for these many years, you know," and he says, "Okay, but now I want to be of the Father's business, right? I just want to be about the Father's agenda." And so he just gathered a prayer meeting together of all these Chinese and Korean American young people, high school, college age young adults. And as they would get together, they actually got together at one of my good friend's house. As they got together, they noticed the Spirit of God would just fall on them. I mean, they would just have the most amazing prayer times, you know. And it wasn't really a Bible study. It's just people just gathered together to pray. That was their only agenda, you know. And when they would do that, God would just move upon them. Now, this is really not the type of people you want to plant a church with. There's no income. You know what I mean? There's no tithes and offering coming. These are high school, college students, probably the poorest sector, right, of society at that point. You know, and so you're not going to plant a church with these kind of, this, you know, like if you want to plant a church, you get some sponsors. You know what I mean? You either get your denominational board, or, you know, you get some other people that will actually sponsor you as a mission, you know, maybe for a couple of years, and, you know, to get the finances rolling, or maybe pastor goes and gets a job or something to, you know, to continue the ministry. But then he just went back to this verse. "I just want to be at the Father's business. And I just want to do what I see the Father doing. And the Father is touching these people. And so I just want to join in with what they're doing." You know, that church eventually became Harvest Rock Church. And, you know, it's probably one of the most well-known churches in the United States. It's a den of revival. You know, Che has written, my gosh, 3 or 4 books since then. You know, he travels around the world, you know, speaking on healing and authority. And basically, all because of this verse. You know, he already had a successful church. You know, but he's came to a point and says, "You know what? I want to be of the Father's business. I'm sick of doing my own agenda. I'm sick of doing my own thing. I want to be what the Father's about." You know, and it changed his whole life. It's kind of amazing. And then 52, another beautiful passage. This is how God wants us to grow. Every single one of us. This is God's agenda. You know how I talk about God wants to bless you financially? God wants to bless you physically, God, you know, it didn't just come out of the vacuum. It came straight out of this scripture. In 52, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with men." Look at this. He grew intellectually, right? He grew physically in stature. He grew in favor with God. He grew spiritually. And he grew in favor with men. He grew socially, right? He grew intellectually, physically, socially, and spiritually. God really is concerned with every part of our life. You know, he's not just concerned with our spiritual side. You know, the side that goes to church and the side that is involved, you know, in witnessing. And he's far more interested in so many other ways, right? He wants us to grow intellectually, right? He wants us to increase in knowledge, increase in wisdom, right? He wants us to grow physically. He wants us to get in good shape, right? He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be sick. You know what I mean? He doesn't want us to be in pain. You know, and if we are in pain, if we are sick, we can go to Him because His heart and His desire is to cause us to grow physically. You know, in the same way, He wants us, obviously, to grow spiritually. That was a no-brainer. But He also wants us to grow socially. He doesn't want us to be socially inept. You know what I mean? He doesn't want us to be the kind of people that turn people off from us or from the church. He wants us to grow in this way. You know, He wants to change our personalities so that we can grow socially. And He wants us to have friends. You know, He doesn't want us to be off, you know, on ourselves and, you know, be this hermit, you know, unless God calls you to that. But I doubt it very much so. You know, He wants us to grow in all these ways. This is God's heart for each one of us, right? Intellectually, physically, socially, right? And spiritually. Man, so let's close our eyes and let's really go before the Lord. And if there's any one of those four parts intellectually, physically, socially, spiritually, if it's not in order, why don't you go to the Lord and ask Him to put it in order? If you're sick today, ask God to heal you. He wants you to grow physically. If you're having problems with people, why don't you ask God to heal those relationships? Because He wants you to grow socially. If you're having a difficult time connecting with Him in prayer, why don't you ask Him to help you to grow spiritually? If you're spending a lot of time worrying, or your mind is bogged down with so many things, why don't you ask Him to help you to grow intellectually? That He cause your mind to be steadfast. So He really wants to bless you in all these areas of your life. I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord and seek Him in those areas.